Hello and welcome to Pineapple Classrooms, the blog and podcast celebrating teachers of Albuquerque. This week on the podcast, we are talking to Kim Dubbs, who is a fifth grade teacher here in Albuquerque. She was nominated by her former mentor, Donna Rapoon, and the really incredible thing about their relationship is that they continue to seek each other out for advice. It has become more of a collaborative relationship than that of a mentor and mentee in a traditional sense. What I love about that is that it really transforms the concept of, you know, give and take, and when you can really learn from each other, I think that represents learning at its best. Teachers learn from each other all the time, and so listening to Kim talk about Donna is truly inspiring. So I'm really excited to share this episode with you. There's another reason this episode is really special to me. It's because it's the first time a teacher at my own school has been nominated for the podcast. So I'm really excited to share it with you. Enjoy! Good afternoon, Kim.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
So I'm coming to you guys from Kim Dubbs' classroom. Kim is a fifth grade teacher at Sombra Del Monte Elementary School. And this is a really cool day for the podcast because I did not have to drive across school drive across town after school. I walked down the hallway and man, what a joy that was. So Kim was nominated by her former mentor, Donna Rapoon, and the really cool part of this whole story is that Kim surprised Donna on her podcast with some words of love and admiration. So, Kim, how long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching for 7 years now.
7 years. And what made you get into teaching?
Well, several things led to me going into teaching. I actually went straight from college into a career in advertising, and it's just something I kind of fell into. But it was fun. It was very stressful. I worked a lot of hours, but at the end of the day, I kept thinking to myself, what am I contributing to the world by being in advertising? And to me, that answer wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So I started thinking, actually, after my son was born, that I needed to go back to school, which was, you know, perfect timing. He was this little 3-month-old baby, and I decided to go back to school to become a teacher. So that was a long path. That was like 6 years of going to school every Wow. evening and weekend and during the summers for 6 full years until I became a teacher. But what it did for me was pretty incredible. I mean, none of those days were wasted because I look back at that now and I think I finally found the job that I'm passionate about. This is what I was meant to do. And I think that every day, even on my roughest days here in teaching, I'm like, man, I'm lucky that I get to do this job. How cool is this that I get to come every day and teach these kids and do this job? So it was a long haul. It was definitely worth it. I found my passion.
That's amazing. And
I think a lot of teachers that just go straight out of high school into college and they go straight into teaching, I don't think they have that perspective sometimes, you know, and I think that's kind of cool that I got to see both sides of what, you know, the business world was like, and then now what teaching's like, and I have such an admiration for this and a passion for it, and really it's so cool just getting to see that teaching in general is just amazing, and teachers in general are amazing, and it's it's really cool to see. So that whole push really just to find, you know, that I was doing a job that I could make a difference in the world was really the key. And, you know, working with kids every day, you see this. I mean, even if you make a change in one kid in an entire year, you're changing the future for the better.
It's powerful.
I mean, that's really, how compelling is that? Not all jobs you can do something cool like that. And so that's what drove me into teaching.
So that perspective that you're talking about, it sounds like makes you a better teacher.
I feel like it does, because like I said, even on my roughest days, I'm still thinking this is the best job.
It gives you a certain resilience.
It does. It does. Yeah. And I go home and I work now twice as much as I ever have for less pay. And right. You know, that's just the curse of the teacher. And I still think, man, am I lucky. And absolutely. So I don't think that there's many careers that you could do that.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
And there's so many ways that you go about becoming a teacher. Like, there's mm-hmm. not just one path.
Right.
So I think it's cool to hear your story.
Yeah.
So in your tenure so far, even including your time as a student teacher, have there been any highlights?
Oh, that's the thing too about teaching, that every single day there are highlights. I mean, really, every day you get to see that spark in your students, and you get to see that they're becoming independent thinkers and that they're taking over and they're starting to get more and more curious. I mean, that's so rewarding to me. And then I love, of course, being a fifth grade teacher. It's so cool that when our kids go off to middle school, that they come back and they always visit the fifth grade teachers, you know, and I always ask them, were you prepared for middle school? And it's an overwhelming yes.
Wow.
And I always think, what a great reward that is, that when they went to middle school, they felt that they were confident, they knew exactly how to jump into it and be successful in middle school, and later on in life, too, you know, that they'll be successful, hopefully, as it continues on, you know. But we get to see that as fifth grade teachers. That's the cool thing, is that they, you know, in fifth grade, I always say, they always come back and visit us. And the other teachers occasionally get that visit, but we get a lot of visits. And so we get to see the immediate, you know, impact of what they learned in fifth grade already translated into the higher grades. So I think that's really cool. Awesome. Yeah.
I've thought about that before, like fifth grade teachers. I get to see my former second graders as third graders walking around campus. I can check in with them. But fifth grade teachers don't always get that ability to. So yeah. I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's something I've worried about.
Exactly. Well, and just thinking about Halloween, I always tell my students that they're welcome to come back for Halloween and visit with us, because they always have conferences during Halloween. And this year, I had 15 of my old students come back. And I was thinking, okay, well, that tells me that I did something right, you know, that they want to spend their free days off with me. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's neat.
Speaking of highlights, there's one really big highlight that happened today. At our staff meeting this morning, we were all surprised because Kim was chosen as the Pepsi Teacher of the Month. Oh my goodness. Kim looked like overwhelmed, right?
Yeah. It took me about an hour to stop shaking and to wipe the tears away. I really had no idea. You know, it was the whole staff was sitting there, and then they called me up, and it was such a cool, humbling experience. And it's kind of what I said this morning is, you know, I don't know that I deserve this. You know, this is pretty early in my teaching career. I tried to do the best I can, but I think so much of that was just that I'm surrounded by such great people.
Oh my goodness.
And they bring out the best in all of us, you know, like working with you, for example, that's huge to me. I mean, that has brought out so many positive things that I didn't realize. You know, things that I didn't realize I was doing well, or things that I needed to consider what I'm going to do in the future and how I'm going to change my teaching. And that's one of the other cool things about teaching, is that we're constantly in this job where things change every day.
Oh my goodness.
And we have to continue learning, and our kids change every day, and we can change every day. And
right.
that, oh man,
it's hard to be bored
enough.
In this job, right?
I agree. Yeah, there's never a time when you're like, oh, that was a boring day. You know, we take it home with us, you know, and of course, you know, all the kids are like my children. You know, I always think about that too, is that I think of all of our all of my students as my own children. So I carry home with them their challenges and their fears and my worries about them, but I also get to carry home all their joys and successes and celebration, and it just makes our job so worth it, you know?
Absolutely. Something else you were just talking about is how teachers support each other and how we're stronger together.
Yeah.
I think, like, the media image of a teacher, especially, like, if you're thinking, like, oh, Robin Williams, right? the teachers are, like, lone wolves, but really it's a team sport.
Yes.
And, like, we're stronger together.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah. And just from, you know, coming in and looking at your classroom that you begin to set up in the beginning of the year, to deciding what kind of projects you want to do for your students or how you want to manage behavior. And I think just the conversations that you have with other teachers can help you grow so much. And that's what I always said, that in teaching, I feel like you have to be extremely collaborative. When I have a great idea, I want to share it with my team immediately. Mm-hmm. And when they have great ideas, I want them to share it with me too. And so, and that only makes us better. And we try new things together and we support each other and we're not scared. We're safe together because we're doing this all together, you know, and we're trying new things and we're being inspired and we're always changing the way we do things. And you can't really be that successful unless you're working with a really strong team. Mm-hmm. And a strong team that collaborates really well has been so important for my entire career. I mean, from student teaching, that's what Donna Rapoon always showed me. I could always see that when I was working with her. All the third grade team always ate lunch together. And we always sat and met together. We always, if we were making copies, we'd make copies for the entire team. If we were planning something new and cool, we would share it with the whole team. And because of that, all of us were stronger and better together. And it just benefited the kids so greatly that we were constantly trying to, you know, improve our craft. And I think, you know, when you stop wanting to do that is when you maybe should consider a different. Right. I think that when I stop wanting to be inspired by other people and I want to stop learning, then that's not, teaching's no longer the career for me.
Absolutely.
So
I can definitely understand that.
Yeah.
So today's been a day of highlights, for sure.
Yes.
I was thinking about last week, you and I were talking at the end of the week, and it just seemed like when it rains, it pours. Mm-hmm. Like when it's a bad week, it feels like a terrible week.
Right.
Today probably feels like, whew.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the whole roller coaster for sure.
Exactly. So when you're on those highs and lows, like having a team to talk to can mm-hmm. really get you through. Like making a place that you want to work comes from that spirit of collaboration.
Definitely. Yeah. And honestly, yeah, just being able to get out the things that are bothering you in a judgment-free zone, that really, I think that just kind of clears you from it and allows you to move forward even on tough days when you are really struggling, to talk to other people and talk to teachers and know that you're not alone in it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal, you know? And then think of strategies and move forward and start fresh the next day.
Because, I mean, you said you take the kids home with you, right?
Right.
You worry about them.
Yeah.
You're happy for them.
Yeah.
But also you take home with you to work, too. Like, you can't escape
for sure.
what's going on, and having a team here who understands that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so
stronger
important.
Together.
Yes, definitely. It is so important.
So, Kim.
Yes.
What are you passionate about as an educator?
Oh, that's a big question.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like that question. So much. And I think I really think that one of my biggest passions is that I just wanted to get the kids to be curious learners. I want them to have grit and perseverance. I don't want them to quit. I love fifth grade. I love the curriculum that I teach. I love the level of kids. I love the fact that they're hilarious and then they get a sense of humor and that they have a lot of wit to them. I think just watching their eyes light up when they finally get something is so cool to me. And math was kind of my background. That was my whole endorsement and push when I was in college. I always thought I was going to be a math teacher. So I really, it's one of my favorite things to teach. It's definitely something that I get jazzed about when I start teaching math. And I think about when I was back in fifth grade and we had a competitive, it was called Odyssey of the Mind. So it was like a competitive logic problem solving group that you competed in. And everyone in the class had auditioned for it. And you had to do several logic problem kind of critical thinking test. And then when we got to our final team that was made up of 8 people and 7 of them were boys and me. And I always thought, isn't this weird that why aren't more girls, right, you know, on this team? This should be a good balance of both. And I thought we were both educated as well. But I almost think that, you know, I've always thought that I could do better. I could bring it to the class where no matter what the student's socioeconomic status is, no matter their gender, no matter what has happened in their life, how can we make learning math fun? How can we make learning math interactive and stick in your brain? And right. And so I spend a lot of time doing things that are memory techniques, and we spend a ton of time doing things that are, you know, total physical response or dancing. I sing a lot, you know, things that, you know, will make it, I tell them, you know, the sillier it is to your brain, you may think that I'm crazy right now, but in your brain, you're going to always have this picture of me up here dancing, you know, and acting silly. And then you're going to always think about that when you're, you know, in college and you're doing this trigonometry class, you're going to always think back and say, oh, remember when Miss Dubs taught us that really silly thing? It won't leave my brain, you know? And so, and I do that with all subject areas, but I always think about math that way because sometimes kids come in and they're like, oh, I really hate math. And that's one of the things that we outlaw in our class is that they're not allowed to dislike curriculum or at least say that they are doing it because then because then it's a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. But I think by the end of the year, you hear them saying, I asked them at the beginning, how are fractions for you? Oh, I hate fractions. By the end of the year, can we do more fractions? Where are the decimals? I want to do more decimals. Because once they see that it's fun and it's applicable and it's engaging and that it's powerful, then they're sold. They're totally sold and they're ready to move forward with, you know, more learning. And that's great. Right. Isn't that the ultimate goal? Is that, you know, that of education is that they're so hooked and they're engaged and they want more and they want to be these sponges that soak it up and then move on. And whoever their teachers are in the future, they have this appetite for learning.
Right.
How cool is that?
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So in your classroom, how do you know a lesson like winning?
Well, I think, you know, just the little chatter that you hear when you step away from a group is still very much organized and it's still very much on topic and they're really trying to contemplate to take on a big struggle. And you just hear all of this, you know, academic language that they're using and that it's none of it's, hey, what are you doing on the playground? It's all about, oh my goodness, well, what could we do on this problem? You know, and start thinking of some strategies that I don't have to offer to them. You know, that's one of the things that we do, and we do Sunshine Math every week. And they come up and they share their own strategies, and they very much lead that group. And so when they come to the front of the room and they start talking to the rest of the class, it could have been a strategy like guess and check, or it could have been a strategy that they worked on with their parents, or it could have been whatever the strategy was. The fact that they're standing up there and owning their learning and sharing it with the other kids, and the kids are, I mean, their eyes are opening and they're thinking, wow, that's cool. I didn't even think about that. That's when I know it's successful. When they're super engaged, they're very thoughtful in the process. I mean, that's the light bulb stuff that you just enjoy as a teacher, you know?
So are there any days when you're like, ugh, not working.
Yeah, yeah. There are definitely some of those days. And sometimes, and well, I think in elementary it's, we're lucky in that we teach multiple subjects in a day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll just be a dud. You know, you'll do a lesson and they're not buying into it and they're not picking up on what you want them to learn. And you can already tell this is not going to be ingrained long term. This is just very temporary right now. And what's cool about that is we start again the next day and we try something different. And I go home and I think about it and I really reflect on, if I was a student and I was sitting in that same position and I was faced with that challenge, I really am trying, I'm very empathetic with what's happening in their brains and trying to figure out how can I better teach that so that it connects with them and that they want, that they could hold on to that long term.
That's a great exercise.
Yeah.
To like.
Well, just reflection in general, for right? sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's just so important, you know, and just keep thinking. And I think having my own children makes a big difference, too, you know, because I can see what they've struggled on and ways that they've reacted to their teachers and to assignments and just things like that.
Absolutely. So I know you have mentored teachers in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any advice for that teacher who is out of student teaching in their first year?
My big advice would be talk to every teacher you can, go to every teacher's classroom you can. And that's another thing that Donna Rapoon always told me during my student teaching. She always said, okay, so if we're not doing something, get into another teacher's classroom. Pay attention to what's on the walls. What are they doing in centers? How do they teach literacy? Or how are they doing small math groups? Or just what are their procedures for when they walk out the door at the end of the day? Just pay attention to everything and ask a lot of questions. And that was some great advice because Donna is amazing. So I learned so much from her. And then the fact that I got to go to every single other classroom on my campus and spend time in there and ask those teachers questions, that helped me immensely. And I still do that. Whenever I could go into someone else's classroom, I'm so curious. You know, I'm just constantly checking out their walls and checking out their plan book and checking out how they've organized student desks or learning centers and asking a lot of questions. And I still learn so much. Every single time I walk into another teacher's classroom, it's powerful.
I'm like, I was listening to your Sunshine Math, and I was like, I want to see that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
That's really good advice just for anyone, not just first years. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Go. Do it.
Right.
It can be scary, though.
Oh, it can.
Walking into somebody else's room, whether you feel welcome or not. And,
right.
You know.
And I think most teachers in general, I mean, we've all been there. And so when we see a teacher who's brand new to the practice, it's really that it's just neat to share what we have, you know. And I think that as you get further along in teaching, sometimes you forget what amazing things you do. I sometimes think that, you know, I forget, oh, yeah, I do that really well. I didn't even realize that I did that really well. But when someone comes into your classroom, starts asking you about how do you do this and how do you do that? And I think, oh, yeah, I actually do that. OK, I'm pretty good at that. And I think it's good for teachers to reflect on what they do and understand, you know, I think we're in a position, too, that we're not told often enough how we're doing great,
right.
You know. And so that's another cool way that once we are more collaborative as teachers, that it helps us be better at our practice and it helps us with self-appreciation.
That feedback is, yeah, critical for keeping the momentum going.
For sure.
You know, not feeling burnt out, but oh yeah,
right.
I can do this. I am good at this.
Yes.
It was just a bad day.
Yes, exactly. Because sometimes I think it's just so, we do so much second nature, especially when we've been doing it a while, that when we step back and say, oh, yeah, this is exactly why I do that, and this is exactly why I'm good at it. I think all teachers need to do that more often.
So you were nominated by Donna, and Donna had some very nice things to say about you. I'd like to share with you now.
Okay.
Kim is passionate about educating students. She finds interesting and exciting ways to engage her students at whatever level they are. She communicates with parents about their children's social, emotional, and academic strengths and struggles. She's involved in her teacher community and values input from others, as well as shares her expertise. Kim teaches math in very engaging ways. She has definitely influenced the way I teach math. So this is all what Donna has to say about you from when she knew you, when you were her mentee. And, like, you guys stay in touch.
We do. She's one of the dearest people in my life. That actually, like, brings me to tears because she's such a special person to me. And I really think taught me everything that I know. I mean, that student teaching time was critical to the teacher that I am today. And I thank Donna as often as possible. We go to coffee all the time, and every time I do, I bring a notebook and a computer because I can't wait to hear what all new things that she's doing. And I'm so ready to learn, you know, from her because she constantly has these great ideas, you know, and things that I just didn't even think about, you know, and she just throws it out there like it's nothing, you know.
I know. I could have listened to her like all day. Oh, and I was like, let's easily. Just keep this going. And
easily. Yeah.
Record every conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool that you stay in touch with your mentor also. Mm-hmm. Cause I don't think a lot of people do.
And, you know, there's a fifth grade teacher of mine that is a dear friend of mine, too, that I've stayed in touch with since fifth grade.
Wow.
And I have my middle school language arts teacher is one of the most special people in my life, too. And I've been in touch with her since middle school. And so I have these really cool teacher role models in my life. And I always felt like these, I mean, that's three of the best in their fields, and they're still part of my life, and they're still someone I go to, and I ask questions, and I still share worries with them, share challenges. Exactly. And so what a blessing that is, you know, to have, you know, and that's just three people from my life previous to my teaching career. And then I have all these teachers that are wonderful that I get to work with every day. And that's another reason why teaching's amazing.
I find your open spirit to be so inspirational. Like, you just, like, this open heart, and you just want to learn from everybody.
Honestly, that's what's so fun, right?
Yeah. You're blowing me away, Kim. I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
How do you welcome people into your classroom?
Students or adults or any.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that I always try to make our classroom a welcoming place. I always, when the kids first step foot in here, from the time that they do meet the teacher, they should feel like this is a welcoming, warm environment. I let kids label stuff all over the classroom. If you look at around the classroom, you'll probably find each kid's name in our classroom 7 times. And they've written a lot of the handwritten labels on our library and things like that. I'd like them to take ownership of it. They have a lot of jobs in our classroom. And so they really take ownership of our classroom. And that's a cool thing about fifth grade, too. Adults, we always love having adults in our classroom. As we've gone through the years, every time I sent home a classroom handbook, one of the things that I always say in there is, if you have special skills, please come share them with our classroom. I love that. So last year we had a dad that was a Latin teacher, a high school Latin teacher, and he came in and he taught Latin lessons with our class once a week. Mm-hmm. A couple of years prior to that, we had a mom who was learning sign language, and she came in and taught sign language lessons once a week. So I really make this an inviting place as often as I can get parents in to spend time in our classroom. Fifth grade's kind of a crucial year, that end of elementary school and that bridge to middle school. So that's kind of the year that the kids say they don't need their parents, but they really need their parents.
Yeah, they do.
You know, this is probably the time when they most need their parents. And I think just education in general works so much better when you have the parents working, you know, with their children and working with our classroom, that's, it's so crucial. You know, it makes such a big difference in a kid's education when parents are involved in the school, when they're involved with their children. So any chance I can to get families in here, that's great to me. That's fantastic.
Thank you for sharing, Kim.
Thank you.
I'm like so inspired.
Thank you for doing this. I really think this is such a cool thing that, and such a positive thing that you do, that you allow teachers to share with other teachers. I mean, man, you're awesome.
Thanks.
It truly is a joy to work with Kim, and I know we all work with teachers like Kim in our own schools. So please think of that teacher who has a collaborative spirit, who is dedicated to students, and has a willingness to share their practice. And go on over to pineappleclassrooms.com and nominate that teacher using the nominations tab. There's one other teacher at Sombra who really wanted to share the amazing work that Kim does and how it has an impact on them. Leslie Jordan teaches fifth grade with Kim, and here's what she had to say.
This is my second year teaching fifth grade with Kim Dubs, and it has been a truly amazing experience. I had no idea what exactly I was looking for in a teaching career when I first started, and I feel as though I'm starting to figure that out the longer that I get to work with Kim. I just feel a renewed sense of energy and excitement for what I get to do every day, and I really have to contribute some of that energy to Kim. She's truly the glue that holds our team together. She constantly has an overflowing plate that she somehow manages to keep together and continue to add more to her plate and be successful with that. She is so willing to share things that she uses in her classroom that are successes for her students. And it's just really hard to sum up how amazing she is in a short audio clip. So, Kim, I have completely enjoyed getting to work with you these 2 years, and I look forward to many more to come. Simply put, you're the best.
Thank you to Leslie and Kim and Donna for making this episode of the podcast possible. And please head on over to the website to see some pictures from Kim's class, pineappleclassrooms.com. And don't forget to click on the nominations tab, and let's make a teacher's day.